Stay tuned for Dialogos Radio, a weekly Greek-American radio program hosted by Michael Nevradakis here on WUSB Stony Brook.
Τίποτα τώρα δεν μπορεί να με κρατήσει. Η ταπείνωση με φέρνει, η ζωή με παρασέρνει και η καρδιά μου σε μισή. Η ταπείνωση με φέρνει, η ζωή με παρασέρνει και η καρδιά μου σε μισή. Για όλα αυτά, για όλα αυτές, μόνο εσύ. Χωρίς να πεις μιλιά και δεν ερώτησες ποτέ ποτέ για μένα. Στο θυμό σου κάποια μέρα μου επέταξες τη φέρα τη μέρημο πουλί. Στο θυμό σου κάποια μέρα μου επέταξες τη φέρα τη μέρημο πουλί. Για όλα θες, μόνο εσύ. Πήρα τη στράτα, τη στράτα, την καγιά. Ξέρω καλά πια τώρα τι με περιμένει. Σε μια πόρτα στο πρεβάζι με βροχή και με χαλάζει. Θα αργοσβήσω μια στιγμή. Σε μια πόρτα στο πρεβάζι με βροχή και με χαλάζει. Θα αργοσβήσω μια στιγμή. Για όλα αυτά. Για όλα θες, μόνο εσύ.
That was the late Polly Panou starting off a new broadcast season of the Dialogos Radio with one of her earliest songs, Pira Tin Strata Ti Kakia. My name is Michael, and it is great to be back on the air after our summer hiatus. This is the Dialogos Radio, featuring weekly interviews and some great Greek music. I will be here with you for the next hour, and I'd like to welcome all of our listeners who are listening on WUSB Stony Brook, on KVRX Austin, on Radio Ena in Australia, a new station that we have just added to the Dialogos Radio Network, on Star Radio in Simi, on City International 106.1 FM in Thessaloniki, and on Radio Mythos in the city of Volos in Greece. We are now on the air on 6 stations, and it's very exciting to be expanding the Dialogos Radio Network. We are also online at our website, dialogosmedia.org. Our podcasts are available in iTunes, in TuneIn.com. Also, we have the Android app, the free Dialogos Radio Android app that is available in the Google Play Store. Today we are paying tribute to Polly Panu, who passed away just a few days ago. She was one of the most emblematic names in Greek music, particularly during the 1950s and 1960s. She passed away last week after losing her battle with cancer at the age of 73. The first song that we heard on our program today was by Polly Panu. It was one of her first songs. And throughout today's broadcast, we'll hear some more great music by Polly Panu, as well as other great songs as well. And also today, we have coming up two very special interviews as part of the Diálogos interview series. The first interview that we will hear today is with a journalist from The Nation magazine. Her name is Maria Margaronis, and she will talk about Golden Dawn and the recent developments in Greece with the arrests of several high-ranking Golden Dawn members and the investigation that has been launched against this far-right party. She will also talk about the history of far-right politics in Greece. This is a very interesting interview, and that will be coming up on the Diálogos interview series. And our second interview today is with an esteemed economist and a professor of economics at Bard College in New York, Dimitris Papadimitriou, and he will speak to us about the economic situation in Greece, and he will give us his insights and opinions as to what Greece can do to overcome the crisis. So coming up next here on Diálogos Radio is the Diálogos interview series. The Diálogos interview series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on Diálogos Radio. Joining us right now from London is Maria Margaronis, journalist with The Nation magazine. And Maria, first off, welcome back to the Diálogos Radio.
Thanks very much, Michael.
Thank you, first of all, for taking the time to speak with us. I know that you've been very busy lately covering all of the latest news regarding Golden Dawn, and you've been following the activities of Golden Dawn for the past few years as a journalist. So let me start by asking you, what was your reaction when news about the arrests and the investigations of the Golden Dawn members first announced, and what has been the reaction of the international community and the international media?
I was very, very pleased. I got up on Saturday morning and saw it on my Twitter feed, and it's been a long, long time in coming. And it is, we have to say right off, it's a very important step. I've also been horrified by the rivers of filth that have been pouring out in the Greek media, not only the behavior of the MPs as they were arrested, which we would only have expected, but the Nazi kitsch found in the apartment of the deputy leader of UCLV Golden Dawn, Christos Papas, with Mussolini wine bottles and Nazi flags and German helmets from the war. And even more, I've been appalled but not surprised by how much the security services and presumably elements, members of the government, knew about Golden Dawn from some time back. Today the news broke that the Greek secret services knew since 2011 that the Golden Dawn NB Lagos was involved in trafficking of women for prostitution, in money laundering, in blackmail. So the suddenness of this arrest and the sudden discovery by Greek politicians and the Greek media that we've had this serpent in our midst for all this time, as if nobody had said anything and nobody knew anything, is very unedifying.
And of course, there's many who do believe, and the evidence seems to be showing this, that the current government in Greece was covering up for Golden Dawn, or even in the best case, that it had adopted a permissive attitude toward Golden Dawn and its activities until recently. Why do you believe that there was this sudden about-face on the part of the government toward Golden Dawn?
Well, first of all, I think it's absolutely clear that the government has been covering for and perhaps in some ways using Golden Dawn. The about-face is very interesting. I mean, the immediate trigger was the murder of the anti-fascist rapper Pavlos Fissas 2 weeks ago. It's unclear whether the turnaround is in response to the very strong both Greek and international response to that, or whether in fact Golden Dawn had sort of outlived its usefulness and become perhaps more of a threat, in the sense that it was doing better and better in the polls. it was becoming more and more confident. We have the municipal elections in Greece coming up in May, in which Gondon spokesman Ilias Kassidiaris is running for mayor. And there may have been a decision at some level that enough is enough, that these people who have been useful in discouraging, let's put it in the nicest possible way, immigrants from coming to Greece by beating them up and occasionally killing them, and who have helped to combat the left on the street, and who have also, in a sense, given the government an alibi for some of its more authoritarian policies, that it's become more trouble than it's worth, and it's also become a liability internationally. We had, after the murder of Pavlos Fissas, Hannes Svoboda of the European Parliament saying that if the Greek government can't contain Golden Dawn, its presidency of the European Union next year will be called into question.
And Golden Dawn was also going up in many of the public opinion polls in the past few months. Do you believe that New Democracy saw Golden Dawn as a threat to its electoral share in the country?
Well, again, this is an interesting one because in recent weeks, we've had various balloons going up about the possibility of cooperation between New Democracy and what one well-known Greek television journalist called a more serious Golden Dawn. And there's been talk of Golden Dawn trying to clean up its image a little bit, of its approaching more, quote, respectable figures to stand in the municipal elections. So I think in a way the government was coming to a choice point. Are we going to work with these people? Are we going to clean them up? Or are we not? And what's happened, one has to emphasize, doesn't preclude some sort of cooperation in the future. Because if what we end up seeing is a decapitation of the neo-Nazi criminal organization that we know as Golden Dawn, we may find that some of its supporters, members, elements move towards New Democracy, which already has some very far-right figures in its midst, like Alan Zioliadis, Marcos Voridis, who both have extreme right-wing pasts. So, you know, that scenario is not precluded by what's happening now. But I think it had become clear that you can't be a European bourgeois party and work with neo-Nazis, so something had to be done.
And we are on the air with Maria Margaronis of The Nation magazine, joining us from London here on the Diálogos interview series. Maria, I wanted to go a little bit into the context in which Golden Dawn gained so much popularity in Greece. And before we talk about the present day, let's talk a little bit about the history of far-right elements in Greek society and in Greek politics.
Okay, well, just to go back, the substrate for all of this is Greek nationalist ideology, which goes back really to the romantic nationalist beginnings of the nation state, not the earliest beginnings, but in the late night. By the late 19th century, we had, like many other European and particularly Balkan states, an expansionist state based on notions of religion and language and blood, that one was either a Greek or one was not. And that ideology has persisted. It's still in the education system. So that is the substrate, but that's not what Golden Dawn is. It's a cross-fertilization between that old current and the collaboration in Greece by some people with the Axis occupation in the 1940s. In 1944, the then Quisling Prime Minister formed the security battalions, who were troops, Greeks, fighting against the left resistance. I think there was more collaboration in Greece than we tend to like to think about. We think about particularly the almost extermination of the Jews of Thessaloniki, who were 90% of whom were deported, and many of whom, most of whom died in Auschwitz. So there is that whole history, which then, if you then think that there was a civil war after that, which the right won, that the left was outlawed for 30 years and shut out of politics and public life, and in many cases out of employment, and that period culminated in the dictatorship of 1967 to 74, which in itself spawned Nikolaos Michaloliakos, the leader of Golden Dawn, who met some of the colonels in prison, who founded the magazine initially, Golden Dawn, in the early 1980s. You can see that there is a continuity here, and there's a thing people in Greece talk about called the parastate, which is, if you like, the persistence of far-right elements in the security services, in the police, doing the secret bidding of elements of the state not controlled by the democratic process. And I think that the parastate connections of Golden Dawn are unfortunately clear. There was a WikiLeaks document that I saw leaked last week that showed that Michaloliakos was actually a member himself of the Greek Secret Service in the 1980s. So perhaps it's not so surprising that they knew about Lagos and didn't do anything, or that the head of the Greek Secret Service was replaced the night before the Golden Dawn arrests.
And looking at the present day, do you believe that the ongoing policies of austerity that have been enforced in Greece by the government and by the Troika in the past few years have also helped create a climate in which a group like Golden Dawn could become popular?
Absolutely. We wouldn't have had anything like this without the devastating austerity program. There's no question that the thing that has fed the rise of Golden Dawn has been misery, economic catastrophe, an unraveling of the social fabric, an unraveling of people's lives, of the story that they told themselves about their lives, a total collapse of faith in the old politics and in the two parties that have alternated in ruling Greece since 1974, and also a deep sense of humiliation, which has made people, in many cases, lose their political bearings completely and turn against the migrants in Greece, anyone they perceive as foreign, and has sort of reanimated those old currents of racism, anti-Semitism that have always been present and have remained sort of underground. I suppose my deepest hope for this moment is that those things we start to face those things and really to deal with them.
Do you believe also that the mainstream media or elements of the mainstream media in Greece also helped us further the Golden Dawn cause in some way as well?
Absolutely. There seems to have been a kind of conspiracy of silence, a sort of numbness. Greek private television stations featured members of Golden Dawn who were very telegenic in the sense that they tend to shout and scream and rant on TV, not to mention throw glasses of water at candidates, female candidates for parliament before the last elections. There's been very little investigative journalism. There's been very little reporting of Golden Dawn's attacks on migrants in the media. And it's actually been very characteristic that we've heard a lot in the last few days about people they've killed, but the only one who ever gets named is the Greek Pavlos Fissa. The others are known as the Pakistani with the bicycle or the Egyptian. So there has been this silence. When reports have run in foreign media, they sometimes get paraphrased and circulated in Greece. And it's as if, you know, why have Greek journalists not also been able to report on these things?
And in looking at the next day, what the next day will bring, how do you believe that these developments will impact the political climate in Greece? Do you believe that elections are now possible? And do you believe that this might benefit New Democracy in some way?
Okay, let's take it one at a time. I'm not in Greece. I haven't been there for about a month now. But what I hear from friends is that there is a feeling of relief, but also of great anxiety as to how this will unfold and what will happen. The worst thing that could possibly happen is that these MPs and the leader of Golden Dawn could be acquitted and could become, in some sense, heroes to their own people. Although I think it's important also to mention that although they have been up at close to 15% in polls at times lately, they haven't exactly turned thousands of people out onto the streets to support them. There have been at most a couple of hundred Golden Dawn supporters outside police headquarters and the courts. About elections, it seems very unclear to me, and it seems unlikely. The government seems to want to avoid elections, although the polls say that it's New Democracy that is benefiting most from the fall in Golden Dawn support back down to around the 7% it got in 2012. But also, let's remember that 7% in 2012 got Golden Dawn 18 seats. And I read today that the vice president of the Greek parliament has said that the Golden Dawn MPs won't lose their seats, not only until they're convicted, but until the convictions go through the appeals process, which could take 2 or 3 years. So I don't think we're about to see elections. I think in terms of the political climate, we're already seeing a revival of that rhetoric of extremes of right and left that both New Democracy and PASOK have been promoting, which seeks to equate Golden Dawn with elements of Syriza or the Communist Party. We've seen a sweep today on the streets of Athens, a roundup of migrants and arrests. We've seen some protesters against the gold mines in Skouries labeled as terrorists and charged as terrorists. So I think what we're likely to see is an imposition of a, quote, legitimate authoritarian agenda, now without the taint of a collaboration with Golden Dawn.
Maria, thank you very much for taking time out of your very hectic schedule to speak with us today.
That was the first of the two interviews that we will hear today here on Diálogos Radio. We were just speaking with Maria Margaronis, a journalist with The Nation magazine. As a reminder, we make all of our interviews available as podcasts online at our website, dialogosmedia.org, and also in iTunes, in TuneIn.com, in a BlackBerry podcast directory, and also in the free Diálogos Radio app for Android devices. We'll get back to some music now here on Diálogos Radio. In a few moments, we will return with the second of our two interviews for today.
Ήρθες, έψες στον ύπνο μου και μου ψιθυρίσες πως απ' τα ξένα μάνα μου εξαναγυρίσες. Τρέχω καλός να σε δεχτώ προς τα κρογιάλι σου, να γύρω πως και να'ν καιρό μες στην αγκάλι σου. Τρέχω καλός να σε δεχτώ προς τα κρογιάλι σου, να γύρω πως και να'ν καιρό μες στην αγκάλι σου. Το γυαλό, έρματα, κύματα και παίρνω το δρομί και πάω πέρα στα μνήματα. Ήρθες, έψες τον ύπνο μου και μου ψιθύρισες κι από τα ξένα μάνα μου δεν ξαναγύρισες. Ήρθες, έψες τον ύπνο μου και μου ψιθύρισες κι από τα ξένα μάνα μου δεν ξαναγύρισες.
Attention iTunes users, Diálogos Radio is now just a click away. You can now download our podcasts and listen to Diálogos Radio 24/7 anytime, anywhere. Check us out today in the iTunes podcast directory and in iTunes Radio.
Στο στρατή εγώ κι αν περπατάω, τα χάδια μου και το κορμί εγώ κι αν τα πουλάω, κι αν ο καθένας εύκολη κι αλήθικη με λέει, για το κατάντημά μου αυτό η κοινωνία φταίει. Στου καθενός την αγκαλιά εγώ κι αν ξενυχτάω, τα χείλη μου και τα φιλιά εγώ κι αν τα κερνάω, κι αν για το χρήμα στη ζωή κουρέλι έχω γίνει. Αχ, κοινωνία, ενοχή, σι έχεις την ευθύνη. Κι αν για πελάτες φανερά γυρεύω ευκαιρίες, κι αν με κοιτούν ηρωνικά οι έντιμες κυρίες, είναι ευκαιρία να τους πω κι εγώ με ηρωνία. Κυρίες μου, ηρωνικά, δέστε την κοινωνία.
We just heard another classic song by the late, great Polypanou, Tis Amartias to Strati. And before that, we heard Yannis Poulopoulos, another big name in Greek music, with his classic song, Irthes Epses. And coming up next is our second interview of the day with a professor of economics from Bard College in New York, the president of the Levy Economics Institute in New York, Dr. Dimitri Papadimitriou, who will talk about the current financial situation in Greece, and he will give us his insights and analysis as to how he believes Greece can overcome its current financial crisis. That is coming up now here on Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series. Dr. Papadimitriou, welcome to Dialogos Radio. To get us started, share with us a few words about yourself and your work.
Well, I am an economist. I am the president of the Levy Economics Institute, which is part of Bard College. And I'm also the executive vice president and provost and professor of economics at Bard College. I've been in the United States for close to 45 years. And the latest work is concentrating on the Greek economic crisis and the Eurozone crisis in a broader term.
In recent weeks, we've heard statements by the Greek Prime Minister, Antonis Samaras, also the Greek Finance Minister, Yannis Tourounaras. They have stated that the Greek economy has turned the corner, that Greece is now a success story, that it's on a road to recovery. Do you agree with these sentiments?
Well, one should not be surprised with these kinds of pronouncements that come in from the Prime Minister and well, from the Minister of Finance. They are supposed to say that the Greek economy has turned the corner. However, in my estimation, I don't know what the definition of turning the corner means. If it is because of what the projection of the primary surplus, then I would say that it's possible that the primary surplus in the budget perhaps can be achieved, although that achievement is not really an achievement for one to celebrate, given the consequences of what has happened over the last 4 years in Greece, and what is happening now and will continue to happen. Now, the assumption is that this primary surplus will be achieved. I still have some reservations how this achievement will be achieved, because it's possible to have a primary surplus if you don't pay your expenditures. And it appears that a number of expenditures in Greece, public expenditures and so on, have not been paid. So, yes, under the circumstance and definition of the present government, it is possible to say that we have turned the corner. I don't think that the Troika shares that view. I don't think analysts share that view. I don't think the statistics actually prove that Greece has turned the corner or that Greece is a success story.
In your view, and expanding on this discussion, what will the continuation of the austerity policies that are being implemented, what will their continuation mean for Greece?
Well, the preliminary reports show, and we have worked on that, there is a strategic analysis that we have performed at the Levy Institute for the Greek economy, and it shows that if the present plan continues, then we will be looking for the further decline in incomes and an increase in unemployment that may reach to more than 34% by 2016. As you notice, there are three more years that we're suggesting that things will deteriorate. It's possible to reach bottom by that time, but in order to recoup what has been lost, a output, GDP, that probably is approaching the 30%, it will take a long time. And there is a difficulty between increasing GDP and increasing employment. That relationship actually has become very difficult, and therefore it will take a very long time to reach the level of unemployment that one might consider to be acceptable. Given that the average in the Eurozone unemployment is 12% and Greek unemployment is twice that number, then of course you know how difficult matters are and how to rectify what is happening.
Why do you believe there is this continued emphasis on enforcing austerity measures and further cuts despite these failures and despite these very dire economic statistics that we've been increasingly seeing over the past several years?
Well, the Troika has its own mind, doesn't particularly care about what happens in the economy in Greece, in small countries like Greece, that has been rendered to be basically a guinea pig on what's been called extensive austerity, expanding austerity, I should say. This is a theory that has never been proven right. It has been actually discredited for a number of times, and yet it's being continued to be applied in Greece. So what the Troika wishes to do, and the government, which is very compliant to these wishes, will finally get to the point where the GDP, or at least the debt deficit to GDP ratio, will reach the levels that they're expecting. But that would be with more austerity than presently is envisioned. Otherwise, the targets of deficit to GDP or growth rates are not going to be met.
Now, recently there has been some talk of the necessity of there being a new haircut of the Greek debt. Do you believe that such a haircut is necessary, and what would it mean for Greece and for the Greek economy?
Well, the haircut is necessary, but I'm not in particular interested in that aspect. What I'm interested is primarily in growth. What I would prefer, instead of having a haircut, is to have a type of a Marshall Plan support for Greece that will come from European institutions, something like in order of what Greece has paid in penalties as well as in interest rates, that approach about 40 billion euros. If these 40 billion euros or even 30 billion euros were to be invested in Greece, but not as a loan, but as support, a type of Marshall Plan, then of course things will dramatically change. Unemployment will drop, the economic fortunes will change, and Greece will go beyond the road to recovery. To have a haircut without any growth policy, it's only postponing the inevitable. As we know, in 2009, the debt-to-GDP ratio was much, much lower than what it is presently after a haircut in 2012. So that policy doesn't work. Yes, a haircut would be helpful, but I think the most important of it is support of the type of Marshall Plan that will get the economy going and will increase GDP. So when you increase GDP, the ratio of debt or deficit to GDP becomes smaller.
And we'll come back to a discussion about things that can be done to help the Greek economy recover. But do you believe that there is, since we're talking about haircuts, do you believe that there is a danger for Greek bank account holders to face a different sort of haircut of their deposits, which we saw happen in Cyprus a few months ago? Do you believe such a danger exists in Greece?
It's very difficult to say definitively no, because the European Union leaders have shown in the past that anything is possible. So I would suspect that those individuals who have more than 100,000 euros in deposits should worry. And as you have seen, they don't really want my own sense. People have been withdrawing money from their bank accounts, even those who have much less than 100,000 euros. That's because there's instability. And what has been proven is that the German euro is not exactly the same as the Greek euro. And therefore, the repetition of Cyprus, we might be seeing it in Greece, or we might be seeing it in other countries as well. They have not definitively said no. The president of the Eurogroup, of the finance ministers. So even though one haven't heard anything to the contrary, he can say, as the government pronouncements and the lenders have said, that all the deposits are secure, but I'm not so sure. At least what is being insured, perhaps it is immune up to 100,000, but after that, it's anybody's guess.
Now, in Greece, we've seen the growth in popularity of parties such as the far-right Golden Dawn. We've seen a series of violent incidents in which this party has been implicated. Do you believe that these ongoing austerity measures are creating a breeding ground in Greece for such extremism?
Yes, absolutely. Ideological shifts happen when there is despair, when there is tremendous poverty, and when one wants to grasp on what appears to be an improvement in his or her condition. And Golden Dawn has provided this opportunity through their own rhetoric, the problems that Greeks believe that are due to immigration. And therefore, I'm not surprised at all, and I think it will continue. Now, it's quite terrible, of course, and we know this has happened in Germany. Germany, of course, wishes to forget its history and wishes to apply exactly what they did to Greece and perhaps to other countries. So that rise of right extremism is not something foreign, and it's always associated with despair and the dissolution of the social fabric of an economy and a society.
Now, a few moments ago, you mentioned your belief that what Greece needs is a Marshall Plan to help the country recover and get out of the current crisis. What could this Marshall Plan consist of, and what else could Greece do to overcome the crisis?
Well, first of all, I want to say that one could probably disagree with a Marshall Plan, because they would say that it is the Greek public administration is so inefficient and so corrupt that probably this kind of a plan would not work. On the other hand, my suggestion would be that there are European institutions, such as the Bank for European Investments, that could actually implement such a plan to avoid the corruption, to avoid the ineffectiveness, and to avoid nepotism. The type of activities, economic activities, is of course all the activities that will increase employment. We have a public benefit employment, which has been sort of talked of in Greece. It was applied for a very small program that actually worked very, very well. That can be expanded dramatically. There are infrastructure expenditures, and there are also expenditures for venture capitalism, which we know that we have a lot of skilled labor in Greece, which is basically unemployed, and they're looking to emigrate to Germany or to Canada or to other places like Australia. So we can get this, we can stop this brain drain and invest in kinds of activities that actually will increase the economic activity in Greece. It will also increase in terms of its exports, and other kinds of activities that will get the economy to recover.
Do you believe that a departure from the Eurozone is a solution for Greece? And do you believe that there are any political forces in a country that can effectively lead Greece out of the crisis?
I always preferred that the solution should actually be found within the Eurozone. Exiting the Euro is not something that one should do, except as the last option after all options have been exhausted. I'm not so sure that the Germany or the other member states of the Eurozone of the North do not necessarily wish for Greece to leave the euro. We know that their rhetoric is that no, Greece should not leave the euro, but their actions actually point to a different direction. If, in fact, that option is to be exercised, then we're looking for some difficult times ahead. But at the end of the day, it may be the best option, even though that's something that should be the last option to be exercised.
And in looking forward in the coming year, what do you predict for not just the Greek economy, but for the Eurozone as a whole and for the other economies in Europe that are also experiencing their own crisis?
Well, with the exception of Germany, I foresee that there will be difficulties both in Greece as well as in periphery countries, especially in Portugal, Spain, and in Ireland. They're still highly indebted. They're still applying austerity measures, and we see the difficulties in Portugal. Its unemployment is also increasing. Spain has a very high unemployment, and we're seeing also some difficulties in Italy. There is some fragility in their governments, and I suspect that if that austerity is to be continued with the harshness that has been applied, I fear that the Eurozone might not actually last for a very long period of time.
Well, Dr. Papadimitriou, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us and to share your expertise and your opinions with our listeners.
Kaisopoli.
We just heard an interview with Dr. Dimitri Papadimitriou, an economist at Bard College in New York, here on the Dialogos interview series. As a reminder, this podcast will also be available on our website, dialogosmedia.org, in iTunes, in TuneIn.com, the BlackBerry podcast directory, and on the Dialogos Radio app for Android devices. We'll hear some more music now here on Dialogos Radio, and we'll return in just a few moments.
Μιλάς για τα παλιά και να με τυραννάς. Δεν έχεις το δικαίωμα ακόμα να επιμένεις. Και όλο για το παρελθόν πίκρα να μου μιλάς. Ένα σπάλμα πρέπει να το ξεχάσεις, γιατί αλλιώς αγάπη μου γρήγορα θα με χάσει. Παλιό μου σπάλμα να μου το φέρεις μες στο νου πάλι κάθε φορά. Το πλήρωσα με στη ζωή με πόνο και με κλάμα. Γι' αυτό θα πρέπει τώρα εσύ με κερνάς καρά. Ένα σφάλμα έκανα, πρέπει να το ξεχάσεις, γιατί αλλιώς αγάπη μου γρήγορα θα με χάσει. Έχεις
στο δικαίωμα ξανά να μου θυμίσεις μια αμαρτία μου παλιά που πάει να σβηστεί. Μα όπως αγαπώ εγώ και εσύ να μ' αγαπήσεις και να γιατρέψεις με στοργή κάποια παλιά πληγή.
Take the Allergos Radio on the go with you with the new The Allergos Radio app for Android devices. Now you can listen live to The Allergos Radio and The Allergos Radio 24/7, download our podcasts, and read our latest articles all in our free Android app, available now in the Google Play Store. The Allergos Radio 24/7. Our online radio station, which features the best mix of great Greek music, plus programming and interviews from the vast The Allergos Radio archive. Tune in through our website, theallergosmedia.org, in iTunes Radio, or at tunein.com.
Πιάσανε τα όρη. Ποιος είδε βάρκα στο χέλμο, στο μέτσοβο βαπόρι. Ποιος είδε νύχτα με δυο φεγγάρια, ποιος είδε ήλιο σαν να χύνω και ερωτευμένα πουλιά και ψάρια να κορυβάνε στον ουρανό. Καράβια βγήκαν στη στεριά και χάθηκαν στο χιόνι. Κι αυτός που τα ονειρευτήκε τα περιμένει ακόμη. Ποιος είδε φάρο στο ψηλό ρίτι, στην Ελασσόνα λευκό πανί και ένα καράβι από την Κρήτη να πιάνει ξανά κομμότινη. Ποιος είδε νύχτα με δυο φεγγάρια, ποιος είδε ήλιο σαν να χύνω και ερωτευμένα πουλιά και ψάρια να κολυμπάνε στον ουρανό.
Την αλήθεια πως με είχες όλη νύχτα τον τρελό στην αγκαλιά σου. Και ο υδρότας της αγάπης είχε κάτι από φωτιά. Θέλω να κρύψω πως ξημέρωνα και ήμουν ακόμα στα φιλιά σου. Και πως σου κάρφωσα τον ήλιο πριν να φύγω στα μαλλιά. Μα το σημάδι στο λαιμό μου απ' τα φιλιά
σου. Θα μαρτύρα ή πως με είχες αγκαλιά σου. Μα το σημάδι στο λαιμό μου που θα μένει. Θα μαρτύρα ή πως δεν είμαστε δυο ξένοι. Στο κορμί μου τις γραμμές από τα χέρια που γλυκά με τυραννούσαν. Κι αυτή τη φλέβα που χτυπούσε όλη νύχτα στο λαιμό. Θέλω να κρύψω όσα είπα με την ώρα που από πόθο σε ζητούσα. Και πως χανόμουνα απόψε σε ένα δρόμο αμαρτωλό. Μα το σημάδι στο λαιμό μου απ' τα φιλιά σου. Θα μαρτύρα ή πως με είχες αγκαλιά σου. Μα το σημάδι στο λαιμό μου που θα μένει. Θα μαρτύρω ή πως δεν είμαστε δύο ξένοι.
We just heard Yannis Parios singing Το Σημάδι here on Διάλογος Radio. Before that, we heard Γεράσιμος Ανδρεάτος with Καράβια στη Στεριά. And that set of songs started out with one more classic by the late, great Πολυπάνου, who we have been paying tribute to today. Ένα σφάλμα έκανα was a song that we heard. And we are almost out of time here on Διάλογος Radio, but coming up on next week's broadcast will be more interesting interviews. We have interviews coming up with a journalist from Roar magazine who has extensively covered the crisis in Greece for the past several years. He has written some excellent pieces analyzing the situation in Greece during the crisis. Jerome Ruse will be with us here at Διάλογος Radio talking about the current situation in Greece. And also coming up most likely next week will be a special interview that is particularly of interest to any students who might be listening, an interview with Artemis Zenetou from the Fulbright Foundation in Greece, who will talk about scholarships that students can receive to study in Greece, as well as scholarships that Greek students can receive to study in the United States. So that is coming up next week here on the Diálogos Radio. We will close out today's inaugural broadcast of the new season with one final song. This is by Pixlax. The title of this track is Monaxia Mou Ola. Thank you very much for listening, and I look forward to being back on the air with you again next week.
Πόλεις που γυρνάς, εικόνες εξοδεύουν. Αδύναμος να προσκυνάς αυτούς που σε ληστεύουν. Σαν δαίμονας να κουβαλάς του κόσμου τους χειμώνες. Τα μάτια της να κυνηγάς παλιούς πικρούς κανόνες. Μοναξιά μου όλα, μοναξιά μου τίποτα. Μη μ' αφήνεις τώρα που είναι όλα πιο δύσκολα. Ερώτα μου όλα,
δύσκολα. Τις νύχτες δίνεσαι μικρός, κάποιον θα ξεγελάσεις, και ένα κακό που ήρθε χθες τρέχεις για να προφτάσεις. Μοιάζουν οι δρόμοι με φωτιά, τα βράδια του θανάτου. Έρωτας που μυρίζει πια αρένα στο αγγίγμα του. Μοναξιά μου όλα, μοναξιά μου τίποτα. Μη μ' αφήνεις τώρα που είναι όλα πιο δύσκολα. Έρωτα μου όλα και έρωτα μου τίποτα. Μη μ' αφήνεις τώρα που είναι όλα πιο δύσκολα.
Πιο δύσκολα.